With the first pick in the 2007 NFL Draft, the Oakland Raiders select quarterback Jamarcus Russell, LSU.
And here we go.
What is up, NFP? This is Wes Bunning, the director of college scouting here at the National Football Post, and you're listening to another weekly installment of Draft Talk. We have another special guest on this week. The founder of the Big Lead and mega Jets fan, Jason McIntyre, is going to join us to talk a little NFL draft. Jason, what's going on, man?
Not a whole lot. Just excited for the big game tonight. I like Alabama to win, and I can't wait to see all the prospects on the field.
I'm sure, but we're going to, instead of going straight to national championship, we're going to talk a little NFL draft talk tonight, gear in on three prospects that both of us are really interested in, and at the same time, you might have a little more interest as well because of your affiliation with your favorite team, the New York Jets. One guy who I'll start off with, I'm sure you'd love to see in a New York Jets uniform next year, and one guy you were clamoring on me a bit who possibly should be in my mock draft instead of someone else, and that's Mark Barron, the strong safety who will be on display for Alabama this evening. Jason, what are your initial thoughts, and what do you like about Mark Barron?
Phenomenal talent. He can guard NFL tight ends. He's, what, about 6'2", 215, rangy, fast. And the big reason I like Barron, especially for the Jets, is because of the hole they have back there with Jim Leonard being up on contract, Eric Smith's just inability to defend anyone, Brodney Poole is a backup in the NFL, and the Jets twice a year are playing the Patriots, who, as you've seen, have Gronkowski and Hernandez, which might be the best pair of tight ends in the league. And in what is a weak safety draft, I really don't know if, other than Mark Barron, if there's another one that'll go in the top two or three rounds. I think you get Barron, he's definitely going to be a first-round pick. And after that, it's, you know, there's really nobody at the position, at least that I've seen, who's capable of going in the high round.
No, I agree 100%. And, Jason, when I look at Mark Barron, you talk about the guy's size. He's 6'2", 215. And when I evaluate strong safeties and safeties as a whole coming into the college from college football into the NFL, four things. Can they play in cover two, which most guys can? Can they play as that ball hawk in center field, which I think Mark Barron can? I think he improved that this year because of his improved instincts. I think he's done a better job settling his feet, getting in and out of his breaks and closing from the deep half. Can he play inside the box? Of course, at 6'2", 215, this guy acts like an extra linebacker. And then can he cover the tight end? I still have a little questions with that. I think when he can sit on routes and get in and out of his breaks in front of him, I think he certainly has the ability to play in tight areas. I question his ability a bit when asked to turn and run. Like any 6'2 guy, I think he's a little leggy. I think there's a little stiffness to his game, but he can be physical. He has lined up in the slot at Alabama and pressed off the line. And I think if he can get his hands on tight ends, he has the ability to be that physical inside nickel guy who can reroute off the line, turn and run, and then he does a great job finding the football.
What do you feel are his biggest weaknesses? You know, I watched him a few times this season, and, you know, I don't want to say he's a man among boys at the college level, but in the SEC, I didn't see him struggle at all in any of the games I watched.
Yeah, I don't think he has a top-end initial burst when asked to get in and out of his breaks, and I'd say his top-end speed is pretty average. You know, granted, he's 6'2", 215. You're not expecting this guy to run 4.4, but I'd say he's probably a 4.52 to 4.56 guy, somewhere in that range, which isn't bad. It's just not ideal for a safety, one that's going to have to play in the deep half. But he plays faster because he's so instinctive, and he's got this explosive, powerful element to his game that he plays faster because of it. And when I look back at last year's safety class, I think he would be head and shoulders the best safety again. It was that safety class from 2 years ago with Eric Berry and Earl Thomas. I kind of compare him to a more physical version of a Morgan Burnett. He went in the third round in that year's draft. If it was, Morgan Burnett obviously would be much higher on draft boards this year if he was in there, but I can see him being a more physical, maybe a little more instinctive, ball-hawking Morgan Burnett, which, you know, he's starting for the Super Bowl champs at this stage, and I think Barron can come in pretty early, and for a team like the Jets, I think he would be a plus NFL starter for a long time at the next level.
Yeah, I wouldn't quite put him in the Eric Berry class or anywhere near it. But the one concern I've heard from some Jets fans is Barron's weaknesses, are they masked by how good that defense is? You know, he's got one of the best corners in the country. Kirkpatrick is phenomenal. He's got an amazing front seven, and, you know, probably, you know, five of those guys are going to get drafted this year.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a bit of a concern that, you know, maybe he's a very good player, but probably not a first rounder because he's around so much other talent? You know, that is a slight concern on my side. And the problem is there's really no way until you see him at the combine to see, you know, if maybe, you know, physically he just isn't there. That's my only drawback. What are your thoughts on maybe his deficiencies being masked by a tremendous defense?
Yeah, I think that might be a legitimate concern, but I see, like you said, he's a plus athlete for his size. He's got good ball skills. He'll strike you in the run game. You know, when you add all the talents that this guy possesses up, you know, whether he has good surrounding cast or not, this is still a really good football player who puts himself around the action both in the run and pass game. And again, you said he's not Earl Thomas. He's not Eric Berry. I'd say he's that tier down from those guys. But this is a player that can do a lot of things. And in that Jets defense where they want to be versatile, they want to bring that guy inside the box. I think they'd love to bring Barron on blitzes off the edge. I think they'd love to play him over the slot and really be unique. And I think his talents in that Jets secondary, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but would really be well-versed considering the versatility that they want to use.
Total step up, and they definitely could use it. The other, I guess at this point, would you have him as a first-round pick today in January? I know a lot can change, you know, February, March, and needs free agency. Would you see him as a first-rounder today?
I think he's a low-end first-rounder, and I think because of the, like you said, the weakness at the position, you get one of the top-tier guys at that position, one of the few guys that can start, and you know you're getting a well-versed, well-coached, smart, instinctive safety from a Nick Saban school. You know, all those things added up, you like the combination that you're getting. Now, is this a top-tier, you know, boom or bust guy? No. But in the first round, and a lot of the good teams that draft well, you know, they're not looking for high upside guys in the first round. They're looking for high floor guys. They do not want to miss in the first round. They want to hit a single, double, make sure they're safe, get a good player. And then second, third, fourth round, then we'll try to go for a triple. Then we'll try to hit the home run. But I just like the safeness of this guy overall. And I think that's why he ends up going in the first round. Because as you said, there's a lot of teams in that back half that could use a safety like Mark Barron.
Oh, yeah. Well, the secondary is going to be a big need in this draft. Back when I did my second mock during the college football season, I had like four corners and I believe maybe a fifth corner going in the first round. I think that's tapered off a bit. But with the NFL becoming more of a passing league, the need for cornerback is so glaring. I mean, heck, yesterday you had Ike Taylor getting absolutely toasted by a second-year guy who really, Thomas has a lot of upside, but he hasn't done anything in the NFL up to this point. Ike Taylor just got destroyed.
Yeah.
Just an embarrassing effort. And cornerback is a big need. I think you're going to see a lot of DBs go. And that's why I right now have Barron in the first round. Obviously, things can change, but, you know, we'll see how that pans out at the combine.
Yeah, and the last thing I want to throw to you, Jason, before we get out of this, you said it's a passing league and you have to have corners to cover. Well, corners don't cover Gronkowski. Corners can't match up with a guy like Rob Gronkowski. Linebackers can't match up with a guy like Jimmy Graham or Rob Gronkowski. You need to find that unique hybrid player like Barron to match up with them, correct?
Yeah. And sadly, I like I said, big Jets fan. I'm watching all their games. And I felt like Brady and even, you know, Rex Grossman, they're just finding the tight end and waiting for Eric Smith to match up with him. And they're going right to the tight end. The tight end crushed the Jets this year. Whether it was Fred Davis of the Skins, the guys on the Patriots, they just abused the Jets secondary. That's a big, big need. Their linebackers just can't hang with them.
All right. Now this is where we're going to get into a little fun, a little bit of debate maybe. We're going to talk about Trent Richardson, who I had going to the Jets in my first mock draft. Do I think it's their biggest need? Absolutely not. Do I think they could use a piece like Trent Richardson? Absolutely. But when you look at Trent Richardson, first we'll throw it to you before we get into going back and forth with anything, but what do you like about Trent Richardson as a whole, as a prospect, from what you've seen from him this year?
Oh, what's not to love? Yeah. I mean, the guy is, everything you read about this guy, I'm sure everybody's seen that ESPN piece where he's in the, you know, in the weightlifting room and just an absolute monster. This guy, definitely the best running back in this draft. I don't think it's close. My only issue, and it's not even with Richardson, is the where do you value running backs in the draft? I did a post on this last week. I kind of looked at it. You know, the last 2 years, you know, the top five running backs in yardage-wise, none of them were first-round picks.
That's interesting.
It's gone from a passing league. It's gone, from a running league to a passing league. And running backs are almost an afterthought. There's a lot of them are splitting carries with other guys. And then you've got guys like Arian Foster coming out of nowhere. And Peyton Hillis comes out of nowhere last year. I just feel like, I love Trent Richardson. I've had him top 10, most of the season. But now I'm wondering, does he fall to late in the first round? You see the success of Julio Jones and A.J. Green last year going early, and you start wondering, maybe Michael Floyd moves into the top half of the first round. Obviously Jeffrey and Blackman are going to be going high. Do you value elite wide receivers over elite running backs at this point?
Yeah, and that's a good...
That's my only issue. No problems with Richardson. Like, great hands, phenomenal feet. He's a flawless football player, in my eyes.
Yeah, and that's the interesting debate, and you probably fall into the same thing when you're trying to peg a guy like Trent Richardson in a mock draft. Obviously you said this isn't just a meat and potatoes, I'm going to bang you on first and second down between the tackles. This is a guy who can help out on third down and blitz pickup. He can catch the football out of the backfield, and for his size, he's really almost sneaky dynamic for a big guy in the open field. The way, like, Larry Johnson used to break tackles and accelerate, this guy has enough wiggle, enough power, or more than enough power, to break that tackle and accelerate. And when you fill out this mock draft, Jason, you're trying to find that team that would like a guy like Trent Richardson, or who needs that running back like Trent Richardson. It was so many teams going for that two-horse kind of back. You almost feel like the talent, when a talent like him starts slipping, one of these teams that have a back in place that, do we need Trent Richardson right now? No, there's other needs that, are bigger on our draft board. But when a talent like that falls, I just feel like there's one team out there that's going to be like, we cannot let a talent pass like this. And that's the team that ends up, grabbing him. And you made the interesting point, and I read your article with the running backs the last couple of years, that the top five guys, don't always end up in the top five in rushing, which I think is a great point. I think really adds to the diversity of the position as a whole when you can look at them throughout the draft. But has the NFL draft seen a running back like Trent Richardson, since Adrian Peterson? And that's like the other debate that I'm having. Granted, it's not at a valued position right now. But again, how early do you take a guy with this much talent? And if he is there for the Jets, here, I'll throw it to you first. You have Barron on the board. You have Trent Richardson. And in my opinion, Richardson grades out higher than Barron. Do you take the position in need, or do you take the running back?
Well, this is where I run into problems, because how can you pass up on Trent Richardson? He's amazing. And think about it. The Jets 2 years ago in 2009 had Thomas Jones, the best line in the NFL. The line took a clear step back this year. Wayne Hunter struggled. Brickashaw Ferguson did not have an all-pro season. If that line can just get back to where it was, Trent Richardson could put up 1,500 yards as a rookie. The problem is, I feel like it's a strong running back class this year. Yes, Richardson's number one, but after him, how much do you like guys like Lamar Miller, David Wilson, Doug Martin, Polk? Those are four backs who could be very, very good NFL players. Would you agree?
Oh, I agree 100%. And then the Temple kid declared, Turbin from Utah State. Not all these backs can go in the first two rounds. And I think that's where, you're looking at a guy like Turbin in the third and the Temple kid in the third round. Yeah, there's a lot. Cyrus Gray, who we thought possibly was a second, maybe late first round pick coming in the year. If you can get a guy like that third, fourth round, it's a tough decision overall. I agree. Would you rather have Cyrus Gray in the fourth or Trent Richardson in the first?
Look at Michael Turner. You'd think, he's been an elite back for a few years. How high did he go? fifth round pick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, MJD, who led the league in rushing, second rounder, 60th overall. You know, that you keep going down. Ahmad Bradshaw, very nice back, seventh rounder. Matt Forte won in the second. You know, as good as Richardson is, I wonder if people will try to hold off, say, hey, we get a good line. We could put, you know, anybody. I don't know about anybody, but, you know, you put a Foster back there. You put anybody really back there, and they can really thrive. Ryan Grant of the Packers. You know,
yep.
Gets behind a good line, goes off a couple years ago. Look at Fred Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
And Fred Jackson, not drafted, you know, turns into a phenomenal player. Maybe there's a little, you know, are the hungrier players really out to you know, prove something? And are they maybe a better risk? I don't know. I love Trent Richardson. I personally I would shy away from taking him at 16 if he's there.
Mm-hmm.
I think you could get the better value of a David Wilson who I think could be, you know, as good as a Shady McCoy. He's fast. He's tough. He's a track guy. You know, even Doug Martin, I've seen some people compare him to Ray Rice.
Yeah.
You know, people say, oh, well, that's crazy. You know, Ray Rice wasn't the greatest thing on earth coming out of college. Very, very good player, obviously, out of Rutgers. But, you know, second-round pick, 55th overall. You know, I don't know. What do you think about it? You think Richardson's the top half of the first-round guy?
You know, and that's the thing. I think from a talent perspective, absolutely. And if I'm looking at guy who if I do not want to miss in the top half of the first round, and Trent Richardson's there, and I have any need at running back, you know, this is my guy, because this is a guy who I think the shelf life of running back will say 5 to 7 years. You can give this guy 250 carries and just ride this monster like a rented mule. And I agree, good O-line. This is a 14 to 1,500 yard back that can be rushing in, you know, 4.5 yards, 4.6, 4.7 a carry. I think he can be, without a doubt, playing at an all-pro type level within the rookie to second year in the NFL. With that being said, Ray Rice wasn't Ray Rice when he came out as a prospect. This wasn't a guy. If everyone thought Ray Rice was going to be this special, he wouldn't have went that late in the second round. So you can find that type of talent in the second, third round range. And that's what makes it tough. And you almost have to trust your board where you're saying, I have this grade, a 7.0 on this guy, but I have an 8.5 on Trent Richardson. You know, would I rather have an 8.5 running back in the first round and get, you know, the 7 or 6.5 safety in the second round, or would I rather get the 7 safety in the first round and the 7 running back in the second round? That's why people get paid the big bucks. And honestly, I would
love to be embedded in a war room, you know,
mm-hmm.
tracking a team, just how they come through the process and evaluate talent for like a 6-month span. But then you'd have to check back a year or two later, like you said with Ray Rice coming out. He was good, but he was not, and you know, top 5 running back in the NFL. I would like to know the process of how the Chicago Bears came to steal Matt Forte.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Forte before the injury this year looked amazing.
Yeah,
you know, and we're talking about a second round pick. You know, looked tremendous. He looked unstoppable, and they have a terrible line too. I mean, he great hands. I just, you wonder, can you find, you know, who's the Matt Forte of this draft?
Yeah.
And then there's the other angle, which is a little tougher to grasp, is there a fear of giving running backs big bucks and watching them fall off? And, you know, you get Chris Johnson, who got a huge contract. You saw what happened to him this year. You know, you don't want to go too far across the board and label everyone, you know, who say everybody slips after they get the big bucks, but I believe D'Angelo Williams got a huge contract.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of he struggled this year. So there's that you got to look into. I don't want to say running backs are interchangeable, because, you know, clearly if the Jets could swap out Sean Green and you know, get someone better, that would be tremendous. But I just wonder about drafting one off. I don't know.
Yeah, and the last point I'll make with this is, again, I think Trent Richardson, I think this is the best running back prospect we've seen since a guy like Adrian Peterson for broken tackles. Mm-hmm. He went set. I don't think he's going to go. I mean, he could. Tampa Bay's in the top 10. I wouldn't be surprised if he went that high. But, you know, these dynamic backs that teams can, you know, kind of rest assured, you know what, I'm getting a safe high-end pick and I have to invest a lot of money in him. I want to be right. I wouldn't be surprised if Trent Richardson goes top 10 overall. At the same time, I thought Mark Ingram was going to go a lot higher last year, and he ended up just making it into the first round. So
yeah. Do you think there will be a similar situation? I mean, Ingram was kind of in a free fall there at the draft, right?
Yeah, the big thing with the running back position is it's a, like the wide receivers, like the corners, it's a stopwatch position. Now, that doesn't mean if you run fast, you're going to be successful in the NFL. But the guys that are big and run well tend to get drafted higher. Look at Ryan Matthews from a couple years ago. Guy 6'2", 220, runs 4'4", goes 12 overall. Now, was he worth the 12th overall pick? Wow. The guy, you know, those are situations. But on draft day, if Richardson at 5'11", 225, can run in that 4'4 range, you know, teams fall in love with those big size speed backs. And I think that's why a guy like Mark Ingram, a little more natural of a runner, but at his size, running in the 4'6 range, you end up falling a little bit on draft day.
It's funny. I loved Ryan Matthews. I was hoping the Jets would grab him. And, you know, in hindsight, I'm glad they didn't. I feel like he's been a bit of a letdown. He showed some flash. He can't stay healthy.
No. And that has a lot to do with the running style that he has. And again, all more the reason why take a running back high. And it's going to be an interesting debate despite Trent Richardson's talent. But
last question on the running back.
Yeah.
Who do you rate as second out of the Miller, Wilson, Martin, Polk quartet, assuming you think they're clearly above, you know, the Turbin, Gray, mm-hmm. Michael James?
I like Lamar Miller second if he goes into a zone scheme. I don't think this is a guy that's going to be in an angle scheme or the power scheme where he's running downhill. But I look at him and I see a lot of similarities to Clinton Portis in Denver when he was able to get to the edge, put his foot in the ground. I think that's where he could be the best. If he doesn't get in that kind of scheme, yeah, I watched Doug Martin and he reminds me a lot of a Ray Rice type player like you brought up. He has a little Sean Green to him where he can run those angle runs, the lead power. And he just creates in tight areas. He can break tackles and accelerate quickly. And then Polk, I don't think he's nearly as dynamic. He reminds me a little bit of a poor man's Ryan Matthews. Just similar running style, just not as dynamic, but can break some tackles. And if he can stay healthy, I can see him being a starting back in the league as well.
Okay, not a big fan of David Wilson, huh?
You know, I haven't done a ton of I left him out because I haven't done a ton of research on him.
Right.
So I'll leave him out at this stage. But I've seen flashes, and he looks dynamic. Have you seen much of Wilson?
Yeah, I actually went to Virginia Tech for 2 years.
Oh, okay.
So I'm pretty into him. I mean, this guy's a phenomenal athlete,
mm-hmm.
Super fast. I liken him to Shady McCoy. He's got those moves. He's very jukey. You know, very hips just move very quickly. Excels on kick returns. I mean, this guy is very talented. I think he could challenge Miller for probably second running back.
Yeah, I'll have to check him. I haven't gotten through all the juniors yet, but I look forward to seeing him. Last guy we're going to talk about, Jason, and we'll try to get you out of here quickly. Vontaze Burfict, the inside linebacker from Arizona State. A guy that some people are in love with because of the physical abilities. Some people think he's the most overrated prospect in the draft because of the mental, I guess, incapabilities. But impressions of Vontaze Burfict so far this year?
Not as good of a year as 2010. I thought he definitely took a step back on and off the field. Just not what you expected. Like, I guess last year, looking at this guy, he's a terror. Nobody can block him. He was projected as a top five, top 10 pick. And, you know, he just fell completely off the map this year. I don't know if it went to his head or he, you know, partied down at Tempe too much, but you just didn't see the same kind of ability and domination that he did displayed as a sophomore. I thought he fell deep into the first round. Who knows if he played his way out of the first round. Just a disappointing year for Burfict. But like you said, the raw talent is there. And, you know, you get him in the right system, and this guy's going to absolutely flourish.
Yeah, and when I watch Burfict, I see a guy who is so explosive in flashes. And that's not only versus the run game when he's tackling. I mean, you see a guy that doesn't roll his hips. He snaps his hip. This is a guy who will create fumbles on contact. He wraps and brings his legs. When asked to take on blocks and when he's motivated, there's a snap where he can anchor and fight through contact. For a guy that's 6'3", 250, he's got some natural fluidity for a big guy, can get out of his breaks, and then accelerate so quickly in pass coverage. And then he does something dumb, takes a personal foul, gets angry, and you're wondering, where was that explosive guy that I was watching for the last 20 minutes on tape? Yeah. Because he's upright in the blocks, getting washed out easy. Instincts, I think they're average even when he's into it. When he's not into it, you know, you're thinking, what is this guy looking at? And it's just that struggles mentally to keep him into the game, play in and play out. When you talk about what scheme this guy can play in, I think he can play in whatever scheme he wants to. I think the key is getting this guy a veteran at the linebacker position that can take him under his wing, much like Jimmy Smith last year going to the Ravens, where you can, you know, show this guy how to be a professional. I think that's the key for him, because I think off his talent, this guy, if he gets with the right people, he can be an all-pro talent. If not, he could be out of the league in 2, 3, 4 years. I think he's that type of...
Completely agree.
Yeah.
I in December, I had my mock. I had him falling down to the Ravens, you know, where he could hang out with another ASU Sun Devil, Terrell Suggs.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be a good fit. But here's a scary thought. What could Jim Harbaugh and the 49ers do with this guy next year?
Yeah, putting
Can you imagine him, Patrick Willis, Alden Smith, with that defense? I mean, you know, if you're looking for a defensive-minded coach who's going to, you know, really get someone to buy in and get their act together, Jim Harbaugh, you can't go wrong there.
No, I agree 100%. I mean, this guy, and this is a he can't have a player's coach with this guy. This is, you know, no-nonsense type Jim Harbaugh, John Harbaugh, guys that, you know, expect the most from him early on. And I think he's going to fall down draft boards. I think this is a guy who we'll talk about as a first-round talent. I wouldn't be surprised at all if he's clean medically, which I expect he will be, for him to fall in the second round. And if he gets in the right situation, we'll look back 3 or 4 drafts from now and saying, how did this guy ever fall to the second round with that kind of talent? And if he doesn't get in the right situation where he's able to freelance and do whatever he wants, we're saying, wow, what a wasted second round pick with this guy. And it's just going to be the conviction of the GM. And I think every GM is going to be different, because they're going to look at their coaching staff and the players that they can put around him, say, you know what, we can trust this guy. You know what, we can't. And I say in the NFL, he'll probably be on about half the team's draft boards. I think the other half will just say, you know what, he's not for us.
No way.
And we'll move on.
Well, the scary thought is, and you know, the Jets are going to have linebacker needs. No question.
Yep.
They're going to be getting rid of Brian Thomas. There's a lot of rumors. Newsday reported that Bart Scott's not going to be brought back. Big weakness there. And, you know, I don't think he'd be a good fit with the Jets. Clearly that team was a little too loose this year. They've got some big egos in the locker room that needs flushing. I don't think he'd be a good fit. Now, I'm not saying he's not going to be a superstar, but I can see him being a defensive version of, you know, Randy Moss or Dez Bryant, someone who falls because they're a bit of a problem child in the draft and then just gets in the right system and dominates.
Yeah.
Could he be an Aaron Maven where he washes out with the team after a couple of years and finally gets it together and then comes back and dominates? Certainly. You know, I could see that scenario happening as well. You're right, though. I do think late first round, maybe early second, is a likely landing spot for Burfict. He cost himself a lot of money this year.
Yeah, without a doubt. Jason, I want to thank you first for coming on today. But before I let you out of here, can you tell our listeners all the many places they can find you on the World Wide Web?
I started this website, thebiglead.com. Long story short, it's been a really, really fun 5-year ride so far. We sold the site in 2010 and just chugging along, doing really well, and having a lot of fun. I love the draft, if you couldn't tell already. We cover it all at the Big Lead. You know, we do sports, entertainment, miscellaneous. You know, we do everything. So stop on by. It's always a good time.
Yeah, and you can find links at the bottom for the Big Lead and Jason McIntyre's Twitter handle, the Big Lead, on Twitter. So, Jason, want to thank you again for coming on. I wish you and your Jets nothing but the best, and hopefully we'll be able to get you on sometime a little closer to draft season when things really start to heat up.
Sounds great. Go Alabama.
Go Roll Tide. And for all you guys, we will be back next week, 7 o'clock, with another phenomenal guest on Draft Talk